Hello, Sunrise Church. It is so good to be with you guys today and to be able to share God's word. We have been in a series over the last couple of weeks on generosity, and today we get to wrap up the series with part four. We've been talking about the fact that God actually does care about your money, and that the Bible has a lot to say about money and possessions and how you handle that and how you invest that in the kingdom. So today I get to wrap up this series tackling the last of the four myths, and this one is God wants me to be rich. Perhaps you've heard a little bit about something called prosperity theology, and it goes a little bit like this. The idea behind prosperity theology is that God wants you to be rich, that God wants you to be successful, that God doesn't want you living in that old house without a pool and without a sauna and without a jacuzzi, but actually that God wants you to have all the luxuries of life, that God wants you to live in a beautiful home and wants you to have a nice car in the garage, that the plan that God has for your life is one where abundance and wealth and material things are an important element of how you live. But then we need to ask the question from Scripture, from God's word, is that actually what God wants from me? Is that actually the plan that God has for my life? Does God really want me to walk around with Gucci and Prada acting like an Instagram influencer? Is that what really defines the love and the blessing of God in my life? When you open up Scripture at first glance, it seems that God really does want you to have that kind of life. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 8, the people of Israel are in the wilderness and God is preparing them for the promised land. And he says in verse 1, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." And then in verse 8 it says, "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you." So right off the bat in Deuteronomy 28, it seems that God is saying, hey, if you obey me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you abundance, and I'm going to set you on high. When you move over to the New Testament, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 2, James is telling the people that he writes this letter to. He says, "You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight." And then he says, "You do not have because you do not ask." In other words, if you want something, the only reason why you don't have it is simple. You simply have not asked God. If you just ask him, God is going to give you everything that your heart desires. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." In other words, hey, if you follow God, if you obey God, if you do the right thing, the God of the universe, the God that owns everything, the God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the God that is clothed with majesty and splendor, of course, if you are his child, he loves you and he will give you whatever it is that you want. He will shower you with blessings of abundance. But then you turn the page and you find in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, that Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So on the one hand, God is saying, "Hey, I'm going to give you all of these things and you're going to have blessings that are going to overflow." And then you turn the page and Jesus says, hey, by the way, do not store up for yourselves treasures here on earth, because at the end of the day, it's going to be destroyed. Mark 10:25, Jesus again says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." So now it seems that Jesus is turning the script and he's saying, actually, if you're rich, there's a really high chance that you won't make it into the kingdom. It's not a guarantee. It doesn't mean that rich people are not getting in. It's saying that if you are wealthy, if you have a lot of money, if you have a lot of possessions, that there's a really good chance, there's a likelihood that you're not going to make it into the kingdom. So now it seems that wealth is an impediment to me making it into the kingdom of God. And then Luke chapter 6, verse 20, looking at his disciples, he, Jesus, said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Wait, stop. So which one is it? God, are you going to bless me? Are you going to give me things if I ask you for them? Are you going to enlarge the storehouses? Are you going to do that? Are you going to set me on high above all the nations? Or do you want me to not store treasures here on earth? Are you telling me not to be wealthy because there's a high chance I won't make it into the kingdom? And does the kingdom really belong to the poor rather than to the rich? What is it? Maybe the better question is not, God, are you asking me to be rich or are you asking me to be poor in order to be wealthy and in order to be blessed? Maybe wealth and poverty are not really as connected with either God blessing you or God forgetting about you. I know I've had conversations with people who have said, Pastor, I'm struggling right now in my life, in my walk with God. And it's because I have all of these ambitions and I have all these aspirations and I want to be successful and I want to have money and I want to have material things. But on the other hand, when I open up scripture and it says that I shouldn't covet, that I shouldn't be greedy, that I shouldn't go after those things, that I shouldn't worry about those things, I'm wondering, am I failing spiritually? Am I pursuing things that God doesn't want me to pursue? Is this ambition, are these dreams really from God or are they from me? It's a person that's saying, I kind of want to go after the money and the things and the luxuries of this life, but then I'm a little bit conflicted because that may mean that I really don't love God and that I'm going to get lost in that pursuit. On the other hand, you have somebody that sits down with you and says, Pastor, I'm really struggling in my faith. I'm struggling in my walk. You see, I've been coming to church. I've been following God. I've been doing what he wants me to do. I've been shifting and changing my life. And yet it seems that God is not blessing me. I'm struggling financially. I can't make ends meet. We're talking about generosity in church. And I'm having a hard time because I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing so that God would bless me. And it seems that financially I'm not in that spot. And yet I look to my left. I look to my right. I see somebody else in my neighborhood, at my job, even in my own family, and they're not walking with God. They're not interested in following the word of God. They're kind of living their life how they want, and it seems that they are being more blessed and that God is opening more doors for them than he is for me, and I'm having a hard time. I'm getting disappointed, and I'm getting discouraged. So which one is it? God, do you want to bless me? Should I pursue all of those financial things? Do you really want me to be rich? Or God, are you really calling me to be poor? Are you really calling me to let go of pursuing those things so that I can instead focus on you? Here's where I want to land with you today. Maybe the question is not so much, God, do you want me to be wealthy or do you want me to be poor? God, what is your financial plan for my life? But maybe the goal, listen, maybe the goal for your life and for my life is, God, I think what you want most from me in this season and throughout my whole life is that I be content. As a matter of fact, when the Bible talks a lot about money, and it does, It usually kind of looks at it this way. It says, hey, be careful that you don't pursue money to the detriment of everything else. Remember, if you are poor and if you are in lack and if you don't have abundance, that God is going to give you the strength that you need to get through it. And for both people, God says, whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor, God is calling you to be generous with everything that he has given you and everything that he has provided for you. Proverbs 11:28 says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. So here's the thing. God is not telling you, don't be rich, don't be wealthy, don't pursue money, don't pursue all of the financial things in this world. As a matter of fact, there's an incredible amount of people throughout history that God has blessed financially, that God has given wealth to, that have used that wealth in order to bless and advance the kingdom of God in ways that would have been impossible for a lot of us to do. So the command that God says in Proverbs 11:28 is he says, do not put your trust in your wealth and in your riches. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" So now we begin to kind of get what Jesus and what God is really saying. He's saying, whether you're blessed financially or not, whether you have abundance or not, what God is really asking is that does not become the center or the anchor of your life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So now we get sort of a more nuanced, a more colored in, a more three-dimensional picture of what God is saying. What God is saying is, whether you have a lot of money or not, the goal is that you would not love it. The love of money is the root of all evil. The goal, as it says, is that you will not wander from the faith and pierce yourself with many griefs as you are adamantly pursuing wealth and financial gain. Then he turns around and he gives us words that can actually encourage us. You know, as a pastor, one of the things that I see most in people that is troubling, that is discouraging, is people that are not content with where they are. People that are not content with the season that they're in, people that are not content with the situation that they're in, people that are always looking for more. So I want to talk about contentment because in my opinion and in my belief and what I have seen and what I have understood, if you can learn the lesson as early as you can in your life, if you can learn the lesson, I'm going to learn to be content with where I am and what I have and with what I have and with where God has me, it will unlock an amazing generosity in your life and it will unlock peace and joy and fulfillment that you will not get any other way. Now, let me define for you or talk to you a little bit about contentment. I think sometimes when we hear, hey, God is calling you to be content, I think we hear the word settled. I think we hear, you know what, God just wants you to kind of just sit there and be okay with life and kind of not have any dreams and not have any ambitions and get stuck. Well, I guess I'm content, you know, and this is what it is and it's not going to get any better and I'm just content. I think sometimes we think that contentment is giving up, that contentment is sitting on my hands and just assuming this is what it's going to be and I'm not going to aspire to anything else and I'm not going to dream anything else. But contentment is not actually that. Contentment is that you can make a sober assessment of where you are in your life. Not where you want to be, not dreams, not goals, but that you can make a sober assessment of where you are in your life. And you can say, when you get up in the morning, when your eyes open up, that you can say, God, you have blessed me. You have been good to me. You have provided for me. This far, you have helped me and you have been with me. And for that, I am grateful. I am fulfilled with where I am. I am content with where I am. And I can acknowledge that God has been good to me. Now, I know that there are things that you want. I know that there are goals and there are dreams and there are aspirations that are bubbling up in your heart. But contentment says, listen, this is a bit radical. God, if you don't give me anything else, if you don't add anything else, if you don't provide anything else, if you don't enlarge anything else in my life, I will still say that you are good and that I am blessed in you. When you can say that, when you can believe that from the innermost parts of you, it will unlock a sense of joy and peace and fulfillment and generosity that perhaps some of you have never experienced in your life because you cannot sit long enough to acknowledge the goodness of God without looking to your left or to your right to see what you are missing that you wish you had, that you think would then make you content and fulfilled. So I want to give you two principles that I think are incredibly important. I think are incredibly important for you to understand contentment. So that your concern is not, I think God wants me to be rich or I think God wants me to be poor. So that you can set that aside and actually aspire to something greater and aspire to something bigger and something better in your life. Number one, if I'm not content with what's now, I will never be content with what's next. I need you to sit on that for a moment. If I'm not content with what is now in my life, I will never be content with what's next. Let me ask you a question. What is the next that you are waiting for in order to be content in your life? And by the way, I think that it's a question that applies to just about all of us. What is the next that you are waiting for in order to be content in your life? In other words, what is the one thing that is holding your contentment captive? For some of you, it's, you know, when I make X amount of money, when I can accomplish this type of economic status, when I can buy that kind of house, when I can afford that kind of car, when I can go on that type of vacation, at that point, Pastor, at that point, it's not that I'm unhappy. It's just that right now I'm not content in my life because I want to accomplish these things. I've got a vision board at home. I've got a list of goals and they're color coordinated. And this is how much I want to make. And this is what I want my house to look like. And this is where I want to go on vacation. And this is the car that I want to drive. And Pastor, I promise you, I guarantee you that as soon as I get all of that, I'll be fine and I'll be okay and I won't ask God for anything else. If you have children, you've heard them say this to you. Actually, you may be hearing them say this to you right around this time of the year as they are arduously and just very clearly preparing their Christmas list. And they're coming before you, bless their heart, as innocent as they could possibly be. And they're genuinely telling you, Mom, Dad, if you buy me this, I will never ask you for anything ever again. And of course, you laugh and you're like, of course, yeah, sure. Because you know exactly that 5 minutes after you buy them whatever it is that they're asking for, they're going to turn around and ask you for something else. And the crazy thing is that as adults, a lot of us never grow out of that. A lot of us are saying, God, as soon as I get this, as soon as I make this, as soon as I can buy that, as soon as I can afford this, and as soon as my life looks like this, I will be content. For others, it involves a relationship. God, as soon as I can start dating, then I'm going to feel validated. I'm going to feel that somebody loves me. I'm going to feel that I have someone in my life. God, as soon as I get married, I'm not content in my life right now because I don't have that special person. And God, as soon as I get married, God, you know what's really going to really put like the stamp of joy and contentment? It's when we have some kids. I think that some children are really going to bring a lot of joy and peace and unity and harmony in our home. Said somebody. And so sometimes we hold on to these things. For some of you, it's, you know, as soon as I look like somebody else, there's somebody that you know that is 10 years older than you but looks 10 years younger. And you're sitting there and you're saying, I want what they have. There's somebody sitting there and their spouse looks like it. They're so much better than your spouse. And you get so focused on what you don't have and what you are lacking. And you're telling God, God, as soon as you give me this right now, I'm not fulfilled and I'm not content and I'm not happy and I don't have peace. And God, as soon as you give me this, as soon as this door opens, I promise you, God, that I'll be content. I'll be fulfilled. I won't ask you for anything else. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, which we read, and then we go on. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. God says, hey, there's two things that you need in this world, godliness and contentment. If you pursue those two things, if you chase after those two things that don't appear glamorous, that you can't put them on an Instagram, how do you caption godliness in an Instagram post? You in a desert holding a Bible, hands and knees, praying to the Lord. How do you capture contentment on a TikTok story? There are things that are ephemeral, that they're ethereal. You can't kind of put them in a picture or in a post, but God calls you to look after them and to search after them and to seek after those things. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So what God says is, hey, rather than holding on your contentment hostage, and there's some of you, if I can speak into your life in this moment, there are some of you that are sitting there saying, you may not have said this out loud, you may not have professed this, you may not even know, but subconsciously you're saying, until I get this, until I have that, until my life looks like this, I won't be happy, I won't be fulfilled, and I won't be content, and I'll constantly be chasing after what is next, and I'll always miss what is now. And what God is asking you to do is to release whatever it is that is holding your contentment hostage, to drop it and to let it go. And here's why. Here's why. I'm gonna have to be very honest and very clear and very direct and very straightforward. I know it's Thanksgiving, but let's just, what if, just stop for a moment, what if the one thing, the two things, the set of things that you are asking God to give you, you're saying, God, if you give me this, if you provide this, if you paint my life in this picture and with these colors, and God, if you give me this, I'll be content. What if the plan and the purpose of God for your life is not to give you that? Are you telling me that you are willing to spend the rest of your life unfulfilled, without joy and without peace, because there's one thing that you are so certain in your life that you need in order to be content? And what if God, the God of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the one who knows more what you need than even you know what you need, what if he has determined in his perfect plan and in his divine sovereignty and in his ultimate authority that that one thing is not something that you're going to have, whatever the reason may be? Are you willing to continue to hold your contentment hostage for something or somebody that may not be the will and the plan of God for your life? Here's the other reason why it's important. The vast majority of times when you say, God, as soon as you give me this, as soon as you provide me with this, as soon as you open this door, I guarantee you, I promise you that I'll be content. I won't ask you for anything else. The vast majority of times when God provides you with that and when God opens that door and when God gives you that, you'll enjoy it for a moment, perhaps for a season, but it will not last. Because eventually, a month later, a year later, a decade later, the luster, the newness, the smell of it wears off. And you're off wanting something bigger, and you're off wanting something better. It's why one of the most powerful things that I think that you can do in your life is to just go before God and say, God, would you give me the vision? Would you give me the strength? Would you give me the wisdom? Whatever it is that I need, so that I can recognize and so that I can learn to be content in the season and in the place and in the space where you have me right now. Because when I do that, God, whatever you bring next for me, I'll be able to enjoy it and I'll be able to see it as you having your hand in my life. And here's the second thing. Number two, if I'm solely focused on getting rich, I will never realize that I am blessed. If I'm solely focused on getting rich, I will never realize that I'm blessed. Have you ever met people that never seem to have enough? You ever met people that have a lot more than you do, and yet they're always talking about what they don't have? And to you, it's mind-boggling, it's shocking, you don't get it, and you don't understand it, because you're saying, man, if I lived where they live, and if I drove what they drove, and if I made what they made, I would never complain, I would never pursue anything else. Like, if I had $10 million, I would just chill. I would quit my job, live off the interest, I would never want. And you see people that have that and much more, and yet there's still this pursuit to acquire more and to get more. And you sit back and you're like, man, it's crazy that they don't seem to get it. The reason is because they are so focused on getting rich that in the process, they don't realize that they are actually incredibly blessed. That they're incredibly blessed. Listen, if the pursuit of your life is, I just want to get as much as I can for me, it'll never seem like it's enough. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, it's crazy. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. You know, what this world says, the culture, the system of this world says, hey, it is your job to make sure that you can get as much and you can hoard as much for yourself. Don't leave anything on the table. Grab as much as you can. Use whatever means you can possibly use, legal or illegal, moral or immoral, ethical or unethical, whatever it is. There's not enough for everybody to go around. And so you grab what you can grab for yourself and you hoard it and you don't give it away and you don't share it. Because if you give away and if you share and if you're generous, that means that you have less and they have more. And at some point, that's the system, that's the world that we live in. But God actually says the opposite. His economy in his kingdom, actually, it's completely upside down. He says, one person gives freely yet gains more. In other words, the world says, take as much as you can and don't give any of it away. God says, everything that I give you, your job and your role is to give it freely as much as you can. And he says, when you do that, you will get even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. In other words, the world says, if you give, you're going to end up poor. And God says, if you give, you're going to end up rich. It's crazy. One of the things that you and I need to understand is the way that God defines rich and the way that God defines wealth in Scripture is not always about money. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met a rich, poor person? Have you ever met a rich, poor person? Let me tell you what I mean by that. Have you ever met somebody that is financially well off? They got money, they got houses, they got cars, they got clothes, they got it all. And yet the rest of their life is falling apart. Their kids are addicts. Their marriage is falling apart. Nobody likes them at work. They suffer from depression. And you look at that and it doesn't make any sense because you're like, wait a second. You have all the money in the world. You have everything that money can buy. And so financially, you are rich. But in every other aspect of your life, you are poor. What God is saying is the goal in your life is not to go pursuing riches and wealth. The goal of your life is to pursue contentment. And from that, God will build a life that is truly wealthy and that is truly rich so that you don't fall into that trap. Here's why this is important. As we wrap up our series on generosity, one of the things that Pastor Steve said earlier on in our series is that God is interested and God is after your heart before he's after your wallet. Because when your heart is in it, your money and everything else that flows out of you will follow. Somebody who is not content can never be generous because they will always look at their life and they'll say, I can't give, I can't be generous because I still need more. I'm not there yet. They're always looking for next. I can't be generous quite yet because if I get rid of this much, then that's a little bit less that I have or a lot less that I have in order to pursue these dreams and these goals that are gonna fulfill me and that. And so let me just hold off on being generous so that I can go after what is next. A person who's not content will never step back and say, man, I'm incredibly blessed. They'll never be able to say that. They'll say, no, I don't have enough. I've got to keep more for myself. I've got to hoard more for myself. And they'll never see themselves as somebody that God has blessed so that they can be a blessing to somebody else. So my goal, my aspiration for you for so many reasons, as we wrap up this series, is that you would come to the place in your life where you can say, God, I'm content with where I am, with what you've given me, and with who you are in my life. And that will unlock a level of generosity that you have never seen in your life before. Because when you look at your life now, rather than looking at your life for everything that you don't have, you will look at your life and you'll begin to see pockets of abundance from which God is asking you to be a blessing to other people. Rather than looking at your life through the lens of scarcity, you will look at your life through the lens of God's provident abundance and the possibility that God can do with your generous heart. And it'll automatically change everything about how you see and how you live your life. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been encouraging you with our generosity challenge. And part of that has been to encourage you that if you're not giving anything, that you'd start giving something. And again, it comes back to, do I see myself as somebody who has been blessed? And if you see yourself as somebody that has been blessed, then what God says is, now it is your responsibility to bless others and to bless and to invest in the kingdom in the many ways that I have blessed you. That if you've never given anything, that this would be the day that you would say, you know what, God, I want to recognize and I want to acknowledge in my life, you have been good to me up until this point. Now, it does, God, I want a couple of other things. You know what I want. You know what's on my Pinterest. Some of you, if I were to go on your Pinterest account, I would be able to see all the things. I would go on your Instagram and who you're following, and you'd tell me, I'm following them because I like their house, and I follow them because I like their car, and I follow them because I like their clothes, and I follow them because I want their talent and I want their gifting, and I get all of that. But that you'd be able to say, God, up until this point, you have been good to me. The best way that we want to encourage you to do that is by going online, sunrisechurch.org, and set up a recurring gift that would be deducted automatically from your account as a way for you to say, God, this is a way that I can say and that I can acknowledge that you have blessed me. That if you're giving sporadically, that maybe you were the kind of person that you gave every kind of once in a while when you were in church and the building was open. And now that the building is closed, perhaps you've fallen out of that habit. That again, you would say, you know what? I don't just want to give every 3 months whenever kind of, you know, my emotions kind of drive me to it, but I'm going to make a commitment to honor God. And that if you're giving a percentage, if you're one of those that are faithfully tithing, that if you're giving a tithe and an offering, that maybe you would consider and you would say, God, are you asking me to give more? God, as you have blessed me throughout my life and throughout the years, has my generosity also reflected the increased ways in which you have blessed me? We pray that you would be encouraged and that you would be able to do that. And if you're out there and as I've been speaking about being content in life and about having a sense of joy and peace and fulfillment, and you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't have that. I'm always chasing for more. I'm always going to the next best thing. I'm always wondering that maybe this relationship, this job, this promotion, this car, this house is going to fulfill me. And maybe you're listening to this and you're at a point and you're saying, it has not worked. And perhaps today you understand the reason why it hasn't worked. Because it doesn't work. The only way to be fulfilled, the only way to be content, the only way to breathe a sigh of relief is when you can acknowledge, God, the only way that I'll find joy, peace, fulfillment, and contentment is when I surrender my life to you. When I recognize Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, as the one who came and died on the cross for me, and as the only one that can give me the joy and the peace that I desperately need and that I've always been searching for. If you're in a point in your life where you want to make that decision, I want to congratulate you and I want to encourage you in that journey. Would you just bow your head in this moment and would you just pray with me and say, God, I come to you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I've tried to do life my own way. But today, I surrender my life to you. I commit my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, and I commit to following him all the days of my life. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you. Would you please let us know in the comment section, in the chat section, would you let us know, hey, I prayed that prayer. There's just a team of people that want to come around you and just encourage you and love you and pray for you. On one of our platforms on our website, you can also let us know by responding there. There'll be a prompt and you'll be able to respond there also to let us know that you prayed that prayer. I want to welcome you to the family of God. You've made the best decision that you could ever possibly make. And I want to encourage you as you continue walking with God that you would realize how much God has blessed you, how much God has provided for you, and that you would extend yourself in kindness and in generosity towards others and towards the kingdom. May God bless you today.